health care is a big issue. It will be a big issue in 2009. And today, as former Senator Tom Daschle faces confirmation hearings on the Hill to head the Health and Human Services Agency under Barack Obama's administration. We're looking for stories from your life. What have you seen? What do you think needs first aid in America's health care?
Hi, this is Gail DeLong from Morristown, New Jersey. We really need to find out why one in six kids in the United States has a learning disability, and we need to explore the possibility that one of those reasons could include vaccines.
And that's certainly a big debate there. Thank you, and we'd like to hear your story at 877-8-MY-TAKE or mytake at thetakeaway.org. And as I said, former Senator Tom Daschle, he will be on the Hill today answering questions about his thoughts on health care and the Health and Human Services Agency. He is a passionate advocate of health care reform. He wrote a book this year called Critical, What We Can Do About the Health Care Crisis. And last month, he held a health care community discussion at a fire station in Dublin, Indiana. Jill King and Travis Ulrich were there, and they join us now. Good morning to both of you.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Jill King, you're a homemaker and you're also a cancer survivor, and you've had some good experience with health care and some bad ones. Do you want to tell us about what your experience has been with insurance?
Sure. I have always had excellent insurance. My cancer battle started in 1987, and without the best of health care and the best insurance, I'm sure that I would not be alive today. I had cancer in 1987. It recurred again in 1988 when I was pregnant with my daughter. I had radiation. I've had major surgery. 2 years ago, when my husband's job ended, we were entitled to 18 months of COBRA insurance. When that COBRA insurance was approaching its end, we sought to change our group policy to a private policy, and we were assured by the company that there would be no problem. But a few days before that policy was to end, we were notified that my family was accepted by the policy or by the insurance company, but I would not be accepted, even though I had had that insurance for some time. They informed me that they were not legally obligated to keep me on their policy because I was changing my policy from a group policy to a private policy.
And so that meant for your family, for you alone, you had to pay $8,000 for your health insurance, right? And your family was paying another $5,000 or $6,000 for theirs.
That's correct. That's what we pay now. I had to seek out the only option that was available to me, a program that's available through the state of Indiana that is specifically for people who can't get insurance anywhere else.
And Travis Ulrich, you see things from the other end of it, which is you're an emergency medical technician, and I understand that you actually find yourself in the position when you're called, someone is in need of medical help, but they refuse to get into your ambulance because they do not have health insurance?
Well, something like that. We hear that a lot. We'll want to take somebody in. We tell them they need to get checked out by a doctor, and they'll say, well, I can't afford it. I can't afford the ambulance bill. I can't afford the hospital bill. I don't want to go. I mean, usually these are people, if somebody else is calling 911 and they're past the point where it's just a doctor's appointment, they actually need to be checked out pretty much right away.
And so what usually happens in those instances?
Usually what happens in those instances is we try to convince them to go. And at times we've told people that we'll just let them ride for free because we don't want to charge them because, I mean, we very much want everybody to get care. I mean, we don't want to deny anybody just because they don't have insurance. I mean, we don't roll up and ask people if they have insurance. We just kind of see what's going on, and we take them in.
And so, Travis, describe what this meeting was like with Senator Tom Daschle.
It was a very good meeting. He wanted our perspectives. He wanted people's ideas. He just wanted to know pretty much anything healthcare related, and he was very attentive. He would ask questions after everybody talked. He wanted to know more. He wanted to keep asking. He was very passionate, like you said, about the issue.
And Jill, what advice did you give to this former senator?
I think healthcare and health insurance needs to be available to everyone, and we need to figure out how to make it equitable, how everyone has access to preventive care and ambulatory care, and not just hospital care. Some people only have that. We need to make all health care available to all people.
What would make the most difference in your life, Jill?
The most difference in my life?
If there was one change to be made in the health care that's available to you in Indiana, what would that be?
I think it would be that I would have options, that I would have choices, and not be relegated to the final option where they can basically charge me as much as they want to, because that's the only choice that I have. Everyone needs to have choices and options.
And Travis, what was your advice as you were talking to Tom Daschle? What did you tell him?
Basically, again, the same, that everybody needs access to insurance. People have so much to worry about with medical problems as is. They don't need to worry about insurance problems and paying for medical bills on top of all that. And there needs to be more of a focus on preventative care and those type of things.
And I think you were struck particularly by something that Daschle said about your town compared to the rest of the country. What was that?
Right. I mean, just in our little town, there's so many stories like Jill's and others that we've seen. And he reiterated the fact that, hey, this is happening across the country times 300 million people. And, I mean, that just kind of blows your mind to think about that.
And so, Jill, when you left that meeting, what was your thought about him as the potential next head of the Health and Human Services Agency?
I was very positive and very hopeful. He seemed like a very caring man. He listened, and I believe he can make a difference.
Travis, you got the final thought here?
Yeah, I believe very much that he's passionate about this. I believe very much that he's got a huge responsibility, and I think he's the guy for the job, and I think he's going to need a lot of public support.
Jill King, a homemaker and cancer survivor, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much.
And Travis Ulrich, an emergency medical technician, both coming to us from Dublin, Indiana. Thank you, Travis.
Thank you.
Since WNYC's first broadcast in 1924, we've been dedicated to creating the kind of content we know the world needs. In addition to this award-winning reporting, your sponsorship also supports inspiring storytelling and extraordinary music that is free and accessible to all. To get in touch and find out more, visit sponsorship.wnyc.org.